Did you know that the word grow is found 53 times in the Bible? In almost every way it is used, it is meant as becoming larger. In the book of 1 Samuel, we see the boy Samuel both grow in stature and in favor with the Lord, which we can read in 1 Samuel 2:26. To be like Samuel, to grow in favor with the Lord, we must grow into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we must develop a Christ-like character. Now flip with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. This says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here we read eight graces that combine with each other. We read about how we must add our faith to all of these. So we see that the spiritual construction project begins with our faith. We must include faith because, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The thing is that a person is justified by works, not by faith alone, as we read in James 2:24. We must add virtue to faith, and by add, the two must work together. So upon our already founded faith, we must add the quality of virtue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, I would like to define what the word virtue means. Throughout different verses, I would like to notice that it is rarely used in the New Testament. Paul uses it once, Philippians 4:8. Peter uses it three times, once in 2 Peter 1:3, and twice in 2 Peter 1:5. And throughout different translations, it has been changed. In the New International Bible, it has been called goodness. In the New American Standard Bible, it has been called moral excellence. The Greek word for virtue is arete. A.T. Robertson says that it is an old word for any preeminence, whether it be moral, intellectual, or military. The Greeks used the word to describe any mental excellence or moral quality or physical power. They also used it to represent a concept of excellence in all phases of life to which they strove to attain, whether it be mental, moral, or physical. So an understanding of virtue is that it is in a connotation of excellence or striving for moral perfection. So the connection with virtue and faith is that while we begin with faith, we must add virtue, which means we must add the desire to excel and be strong in our faith-based relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Our spiritual life demands virtue, for without virtue, faith soon dies. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When our faith is joined with the want to excel in our service to God, works will certainly follow one who is striving for excellence. Our faith becomes a dynamic faith. Without virtue, we cannot grow in the knowledge of Jesus. To grow in the knowledge, we must be giving all diligence. Let's go back real quick to our text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And you get it reads, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here we see that if we follow the eight graces, we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. And this should be the goal of our faith. When our faith is joined with virtue, a diligent effort will be made, and abounding in these graces will become the goal of our faith. Christ taught his disciples to strive for excellence in Matthew 5:48, and in Hebrews 10:12-14, it reads, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from the time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Now we see that Jesus died to make it possible to live through him with virtue. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness in Christ." Here we see that Jesus established offices or functions in his church to ensure its longevity. Now flip with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through 29. This reads, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." We see that Paul considers excellence in disciples the objective of his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we see Paul talking to the Corinthians and telling them to cleanse themselves from the filthiness of the world and to be baptized. And then later on, we see Paul tell Timothy that it was the design of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So that leaves the question of how can we hope to grow as disciples to truly come to know our Savior and Lord, unless we add our faith to the quality of virtue. Without a strong desire for excellence, especially in our relationship with Christ, our faith will be weak and possibly die altogether. To develop virtue, we need a want to study and understand the Bible. The purpose and design of the Word is to make us perfect. We can read about that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we give ourselves to reading and meditating upon it, we will grow like a strong, fruitful tree, which we read about in Psalms 1:1-3, and we will grow in wisdom and understanding, as we see in Psalms 119:97-99. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So we see that we must meditate on anything that contains virtue. Now we have to have an apostolic example to show virtue. But what exactly are the values of an apostolic example? An example we have is Paul in Philippians 4:9. It says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We see that we must follow Paul's example, and the God of peace shall be upon us. We see Paul strives for excellence all his life, and he displays that in Philippians 3:12-14. We also see that Paul never considered himself to having reaching his goal. He kept on going, as should we. We must not be satisfied with the spiritual condition we are in now. No matter how strong we are, we must always admit that there is room to grow. Another value you must have is forgetting what lies behind you. Now, when we drive around, I'm sure many of us notice how tiny that rearview mirror is, but how big the front windshield is. And the reason for that is because what lies ahead of us is more important than what lies behind us. We see Paul mention the same idea in Philippians 3:13. This reads, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." We must live our lives focusing on how we can progress and not what we have done in the past. We must look ahead with optimism, and we must look forward to the prize that awaits us ahead of us, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:8. We must press on like the runner in an endurance race. We must run towards Jesus, as we see in Hebrews 12:1-2. Which reads, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking in unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, after developing the mindset, we will have developed the areti, or virtue our faith needs to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But how exactly can we demonstrate that? Now, I'd like to talk about how we can demonstrate it in our personal lives, and this can show who we are and what we care about. When at home or when we're out and about, does our daily walk with God suggest we are striving for excellence? Do we seek to excel in our relationship with God, reading his word daily, where we can listen to what he has to say? Or are we praying nonstop and talking with God every day? Do we seek to excel in our service towards God? And we can do that by determining our talents and developing them. We can use them to glorify God and use them in our service to God and others. If you join me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Here we see, if you add virtue to your personal walk with the Lord, our progress will be evident towards others. But not only in our personal lives we need to add virtue. We must add it into our Bible studies and assemblies. Questions we can ask ourselves is, does our involvement in the church suggest we are striving for excellence? Do we utilize opportunities to increase our faith by attending Bible studies and preparing for them and being an active member during them? Lastly, do we encourage others with our faith? Do we encourage them by participating in services and talking to others before and after assemblies? If we add virtue to our public walk of faith, we will be an example worthy of others to follow, as we see in Philippians 3:17, which says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." So as we see with Paul, the Christian who adds virtue to their faith does not remain static. They will not be content with their current level of faith and service, so they will strive to press on, like Paul says. When a Christian adds virtue to their faith, they are more likely to also add other qualities, such as knowledge, self-control, and much more, for they are striving for excellence. So to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, let us seek to add faith to our faith the quality of virtue.